It's going to take a few minutes to reflect on the second portion of that reading that the young people had for us today. And to do what Kathy did with the children, and to leave us with some questions for us to ponder and continue to chew upon as we leave this place today. We chronicled the activities and the events. Jesus has come to Capernaum. He attends the synagogue, as was his practice, and in there has an exchange, and we heard how it dismisses the evil spirit. He then, in the next day, we're told, while everybody else is sleeping, Jesus goes off to pray, as was his habit. This connects us with what we learn about Jesus' own baptism that we celebrated a few weeks ago, that Jesus understood that in his wilderness experience that he was dependent on his relationship with God to stay focused and committed to that which he came to do. So we read regularly that Jesus spent time in prayer, went off to pray, away from others, to be in communion with God and to check in, as it were, and to be given the direction again and the inspiration. So that is what he's doing, off doing that. And the disciples, because of the press of the crowd, word has got out that this Jesus has come. His teaching is authoritative. His teaching is one that is unlike others, what other people have offered. And so the crowd of people have pressed against perhaps Peter's home or around where he's staying. And they come looking for Jesus and say, come, people want you. Everybody wants you. Interrupt his prayer. But Jesus goes, and there is a diseased man with leprosy, one of those skin conditions that rendered him not unclean according to Jewish law, but also away from the community. He was, in a sense, what one commentator says, like a corpse on the margins of the community. There were very clear prescriptions according to Levitical law that prohibited a leper from coming into the town. Had to stay out and beg for mercy, beg for food, beg for everything. Everything they got, people had to bring to them. They had to stay far away and cry out, unclean, unclean, whenever anybody came near. This man calls out and asks for mercy. We're told that Jesus had compassion. The word is a very strong one. His guts were wrenched when he saw this. And the man says, can you help me? And Jesus says, I want to, and heals him. But here's the thing. Jesus says, don't tell anyone. Jesus didn't want to make his healing the center of his ministry because he knew how quickly that could be distracted. That was one of the temptations that he resisted in the wilderness. Turn this bread into stone. Make your mission, make your agenda about causing people to be starry-eyed with what you can accomplish. Let them follow you for all of these wonderful things you can do. Jesus resisted that. He doesn't want that, but he has compassion. In fact, we're told that Jesus was angry. The Greek word says with strong emotion, it doesn't give it, but the sense is that there's something that Jesus was angry about. Angry about the condition that this man experienced, not only physically, but the fact he was ostracized from community. He could not come and be a part of the fabric of his family and of the religious life and the social life. He had to stay by himself, and loneliness was his only friend. And he's angry, but Jesus warned him. He said, don't tell anybody. But what does the man do? What did he do? He went and gabbed. He talked all over the place, so much so then we're told that Jesus could not enter the village. Now, it's important to recognize what happened here. He went and told people, he probably said, I was a leper and Jesus has healed me. Look, and this wonderful man, come and see. But the people heard leper. And in the description, they probably heard Jesus touched him, which would have meant what? That Jesus now is contaminated. According to law. And so that is why the last verse says Jesus could not enter any of the villages. The people would have kept him out. For now he is as a leper. But it says people came to him. So here are a few questions I just want to end with. What is it about our world and the condition of our world and our own personal lives that Jesus has deep compassion for? What is it? What is it also that Jesus has asked us not to do that we, because of our own sense of what is more right than what Jesus has told us, or enthusiasm, do anyway? What is it that Jesus has asked us not to do that we, for whatever reasons, are doing anyway? And the last question, what is it in our own lives, in our community of faith here at Parkdale and in the world, what is it that makes God makes Jesus most angry? What is it that makes Jesus angry? The Bible tells us he was angry. He had compassion, but he also said, don't go and tell. Let us see where we fit in this story as we live that and those questions this week. Amen. We're moving to the second vignette, celebrating our ministries we mentioned. And the first one was our faith formation. And the second is our In From the Cold ministry. Let me just see with a show of hands, how many of you here know what happens in In From the Cold? Just put your hands up. Okay, good number. How many of you have volunteered in From the Cold, have actually been there and been a part of it? Okay, a little less number. Okay. Well, so that all can be gifted and privileged with the same experience, we're going to, at this time, help you understand and experience a slice of what takes place at In From the Cold. The table has been set. The invitation offered. Want to invite the guests. We're going to bring the chairs over. If the guests would come and sit around the table, and Hazel and Janet, Hazel Bowen and Janet Taylor are the co-coordinators of the In From the Cold ministry, supplied by many, many volunteers, and they're going to come and help us appreciate what that ministry is about.
So I've heard about this In From the Cold. It's my first time here. How about you? No? I really wonder what it's all about.
I hear you're all new here today. Well, welcome. We're so pleased to have new guests come. And we hope you'll really enjoy your afternoon. Perhaps I could just tell you a little bit about what to expect. Well, at the back, we have people serving tea, coffee, juice, a whole variety of juices, hot chocolate, and you'll find some goodies there as well. So when you're ready, I hope you'll all find your way back there, and there'll be volunteers willing to serve you. Just they're ready right now. Now, over just a little bit to the one side, you see people there. Those are other guests. They've been here before. That's the craft table. Now, there's a lot of creative things happening back there. And I hope you'll find your way over there just to see what's happening, and you may join in if you wish. They're making things with clay, and then they paint them. And sometimes what they make all fits together, and it's pretty interesting. Now, next, you see a long table, and it's got lots of books on it. Well, there's books, and there's a lot of good magazines, too. And on the stage, there's more reading material. There's newspapers there, The Citizen and The Sun. And they're there for the whole week. And you may browse. You may take a book and take it home if you wish, or a newspaper, or some magazines. So we hope you'll find your way over there. I'm sure you'll find something you like. And remember, you're free to take it home. Now, up on the stage, there's another group up there, and they look pretty as though they're really enjoying what they're doing. Now, you might know somebody that's having a birthday soon, or maybe another celebration. Maybe you know somebody that's ill. Well, that's the card-making table, and there's a volunteer there to help as well, and they're beautiful cards that they make, and you'd be very proud to send it or give it to somebody special. And I'm sure they'd be pretty pleased that you made it all yourself. Now, around 2:30 today, and we're glad you came early, we're going to have some entertainment. And I'm not sure what it's going to be today, but I hear there are some really good musicians coming. Now, around 3 o'clock, Dr. Anthony Bailey, our minister, comes. He likes to come and just walk around and talk with guests. And you know, the guests really look forward to having him come. By 3:30, the meal is ready to be served. Now, Anthony usually starts by welcoming everybody. Then he asks if anybody's celebrating a birthday. And you know, usually there is. It could be that day or could be during the week. And sometimes there's other special occasions that people will mention as well. And we usually clap and sing. And then, sometimes we ask if there's anybody that has someone they'd like to remember in prayer. And then Anthony weaves those requests into the grace as we're giving thanks for each other and for the food. And then comes the food. You know, it's going to be a four-course meal every week. So first, we serve salad. And then there's homemade soup. Everything's made from scratch. And then comes the main course. And you know, last week, well, I'll just tell you what we're having today. We're having roast pork and potatoes and vegetables, mixed vegetables. And as well, we always have a vegetarian alternative. So maybe one of you is a vegetarian. So just know that there's a really good vegetarian meal for you. You have to have a blue ticket to get that. And we'll see that if anybody needs that, that you have a blue ticket. And then there's a whole variety of desserts. So that's what we're having for our meal. And that happens every week. Now, when you're ready to leave, you're offered a bag with an apple and an orange, and you may have a sandwich if you wish. And sometimes there's some other goodies slipped in that bag as well. And if you care to stay till 5 o'clock, then if we have any food left over, you may have a takeout meal. So that's pretty well what happens every Saturday. So when you're ready, find your way back to the beverage table. And we do hope you'll come back again next week. Now, you know that it takes a very big team of volunteers to make this dinner happen. And Janet would like to tell you what they do.
Thank you, Hazel. Hazel has shown us what happens when the guests come and how the day progresses from that angle. And now I would like to just tell you what happens if you come with me through the back door and just have a glimpse of what happens on any Saturday from the second week in November until the end of March. There might be some new members out there that would like to participate in the ministry, and they're thinking right about now, well, what exactly am I volunteering for? If you're like me, so you want a little bit of detail. So I'm just going to basically tell you how the day unfolds. Early on the Saturday morning, there's a small dedicated group that go out into the community and pick up all the donations excuse me, and bring them back to the church. And then around 11 o'clock, the setup team comes, and they set up the 19 tables, just like you see here, all with their lovely place settings and do all that. And then they set up the 7 specialty tables, the beverage and craft tables, the reading, the sandwich table and the dish scraping table up by Gladstone, the registration table, and down near the choir room, the volunteer check-in table. All of this is done before the doors even open, and the those dedicated volunteers have come and gone before the day really begins, but they are so appreciated and so much a part of this whole ministry. Then around 12:30, the kitchen staff comes, and they prepare the four-course meal that Hazel told you about. And there's lots of hard work and fellowship. You know, peeling 50 pounds of potatoes is, you can get to know people pretty well while you're doing that little job. And so they carry on with the meal And by 4 o'clock, they leave, and the second kitchen crew comes in, and they serve the remainder of the meal and do all the cleanup. And that's a demanding shift, but a fun shift as well, all those dishes to be washed and everything to be cleaned up and put away. And then in another little area in Tape Hall, just about 2 now, the doors are going to open. And so the registration desk is teamed. The team for the registration desk, they come in and check in the guests as they come downstairs, just their first names, and it gives a head count to the kitchen people, how many people that we're having for the day. And the volunteer check-in desk downstairs looks after all the volunteers that are coming to serve the meal and do the other jobs at the different tables. And the serving people, when they come, they're looked after by what we call the go-to people, the blue shirts. And the blue shirts are the shift coordinators for the day, and they have really big shoulders because they answer all the questions and they orient the volunteers, and they just do a great job. And we really appreciate them. The servers, they all wear yellow shirts, and then they're easily identifiable if one of the guests wants to ask them a question or needs a salad or something. And after that, there's the door watch teams. They're like the GPS for the day. They just ensure that everyone gets to where they're going. And then there are the invisible people. They're the laundry people. I've never seen them, but every week we have lovely wash T-shirts and dish towels, and everything is really done. And they, too, are part of the team that's really makes it all work. The volunteer coordinator, Janice Gray, is the gym that schedules the 60 volunteers each week for 19 weeks. And when your mind grasps that, I don't need to say any more. So I just want to thank you all sincerely, to Dr. Bailey, the congregation, the donors, the volunteers, the guests, the contributors, the prayer partners, and to everyone that makes this journey a ministry of God's hands at work in our world. Thank you.
It's a wonderful segue in a very important ministry of which this congregation certainly can be proud. Just to let you know that during the bus strike, our numbers were down in attendance, but the reputation of this ministry is such that people from not only this immediate area, from all over the city come to it. There was a woman who came during the bus strike on a very, very cold day, walked all the way from Vanier. Took her 3.5 hours, and we had to find a way to take her back because she was absolutely frozen. But it just tells you something about the way in which people are treated with dignity and respect right here in our own congregation as part of the extension of our understanding of God's call upon us.